Welcome to the Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast. This is episode 159. My name is Kieran Lefebvre, and this is Adam Childs.
Hello, everybody. It's hard not to do the whole like, hi, Dr. Nick. Hi, everybody from The Simpsons. Yes, hello, everyone. Episode 159. Before we quite consistently get off the rails, quickly, housekeeping. Guys, next episode is 160, our recurring, well, started as Ask a Black Belt. Now it's just Ask Us Questions, but it's still titled Ask a Black Belt, which we probably weren't the first podcast to do it, but I feel like when we started doing it, I then saw heaps of other podcasts that have Ask a Black Belt segments.
After we started doing that, a whole podcast show was released with that as their title, Ask a Black Belt.
Yeah, right. Well,
I mean, it's pretty generic though.
Let's be honest. Anyway, guys, send in the questions. You know where to find all the links. They're in the description. They're in our link tree. All that. You submit an audio question. We play your question on the show and then answer it to the best of our capabilities. Can be anything. Can be jiu-jitsu related, which most questions are. Can be nutrition related, which is, or S&C related, which is, you know, obviously more Kieran's direction, but we've also had questions submitted that are just like, hey, what's your favorite, you know, do you like prefer long sleeve or short sleeve rashies? Like you, whatever, right? Mm. Send in any questions and then I'll mail you my underwear.
Wait, I didn't know that was an option.
Kieran's like, makes a note, submit question to podcast. yes, but we're talking about how cringe Kieran's jiu-jitsu is today.
Damn it, I was going to make the same joke at you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna, oh, this episode's about Adam.
yes. No.
Yes, it's well, titled I mean, cringe.
At the moment, you can't even do any cringe jiu-jitsu.
Yes, I can only do pure amazing jiu-jitsu. No. I don't think we've actually mentioned this on the episode.
Well, we did last episode. Your something interesting was that your knee was a bit wonky, but you've since seen a physio, I believe.
I have.
And it was not great.
No, so I didn't get an MRI because very difficult in the socialism system. But I couldn't get an MRI yet, so this isn't confirmed. But after a physical assessment with the physiotherapist, we have determined that it is at least a grade 2 tear to the LCL. So I said that I believe it's LCL, and I was bang on. It is LCL, the lateral crucial ligament that runs on the outside of your knee. And so LCL damage, there's a lot of movement in it. So clearly a partial tear, not completely torn off, which is the good news. But, you know, he was basically saying that we need an MRI to determine whether or not it is severe enough to require surgery. It would have to be pretty fucking severe. But he said minimum grade 2, but it could be worse. We don't know. I haven't heard back from the people I was referred to get an MRI. So I don't think that's happening. So I'm just going to, at this stage, I'm thinking about treating it like it's a grade 2, starting my own rehab because I didn't get any rehab from the old physio, and just fucking rocking it.
Yeah, just go about it, bro. Go about it.
Just hope for the best. Fingers crossed. Hope I don't fucking snap it like a twig, and off we go.
Yeah, that's funny because like I recently saw just a doctor here, and for any international listeners in Australia, you typically have to go to a GP, a general practitioner, and then they will give you a referral to see a specialist. A specialist is essentially any other type of doctor that is not a GP, a dermatologist, orthopedist,
a what?
orthopedic surgeon, or ear, nose and throat specialist, any other type of doctor is you need a referral for. And I got given a referral, and it was the wait to get in to this other specialist was 6 months. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, if you came to me a year ago, there were no one in Sydney taking new patients. I was like, well, what?
Okay. What do you do?
I was like, yeah. I said, what do I do? And he was like, well, you've made it this far. What's another 6 months? And I was like, yeah, okay.
Fair enough. Yeah. Shit. But, yeah, fair enough.
But you could, if you're lucky enough, progress to the current state of my knee. So that's something for you to look forward to.
Yeah, no thanks.
Which is, yeah, just like, I mean, even training tonight, I don't know, popped like 4 or 5 times. It just pops all over the place. So I've, for listeners, I showed Kieran some pictures that describe it, but it's kind of like this. I think, so I've already had part of my meniscus removed, and what it should look like is if you imagine you took like one segment of a mandarin, right? It should be this sort of C shape. This is my post-surgery meniscus, and it's all healthy. It should be this sort of like C shape. But what mine is imagine you got a segment of mandarin that you gave it to a toddler who kind of like took sort of a bite, but also like sucked on it, like to, or imagine even an adult who, if you might bite on a mandarin to like pull out the seeds with your teeth, almost. It's kind of like that. The inside of the seed is all like frayed and smushed and fucked up. Yeah. And so there's all these little bits that get like jammed and it's like popping all over the place. But, you know, but I don't need surgery yet. So maybe though that's on your cards. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be fine. I'll rehab it. It will stitch back together even stronger, like a muscle, because that's what happens to ligaments. So I heard. I'm joking, clearly. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. But like, see, the physio got me to do a bunch of exercises like pistol squats and all these stability exercises. And he was like, man, looks like there's nothing wrong with it until we did the assessment. So I have that much stability and coordination and muscle developed around the joint that it is performing really, really well, which is, you know, the good news. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, so how long, like, how does it feel at the moment? Pretty unstable?
No, look, honestly, it doesn't feel that unstable, to be honest. It doesn't really feel like anything. There's very limited to no pain. Only in certain very specific positions do I get a little bit of discomfort. There was zero swelling, no swelling at all, really. And there was only pain for the first 3 days or so. And there's not really any pain receptors in your ligaments. So it makes sense. And it's very typical that for a ligament injury and even a meniscus injury, that you have very limited swelling, limited pain, and blah, blah, blah. So it feels fine.
Yeah, that's where like 99% of my knee injuries have been ligaments and meniscus. Yeah. And you don't usually get a whole bunch of swelling.
No. But there you go. And, just got to do the rehab, play by ear and see what happens. But I think I'm pretty confident in it. It happens. It's one of them freak accidents.
Yeah, fuck, man. Like, yeah. You're not old yet, but I always say this to anyone, let's just say, to pick a number plus over 30. Over 35, whatever it is, you know, when you talk about injuries, and we've spoken in episodes before about, things you can do to prevent injuries and whatever, but I kind of always say, well, man, is jiu-jitsu the healthiest form of exercise for, staying fit without getting injuries? No, probably not. But like, there's far worse ones. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You could do something with zero impact. I don't know. You could do nothing but swimming, or you could do nothing but Pilates and yoga. And, as you age, shit just starts to fall apart and break, So you could do nothing but, aquatic yoga, if that's a thing,
you impact or drown, anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like one day, like you tweak your shoulder or hurt something and, things start falling apart anyway. So may as well do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Exactly. 100%. That's good reasoning.
Yeah.
But well, the episode today. Well.
Yeah.
today's episode, the reason that it's titled My Jiu-Jitsu is Cringe or something along those lines, is because we were brainstorming for episode ideas, and this morning I just so happened to look on the Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast Instagram, which is Beyond Jiu-Jitsu _podcast. follow now. And I saw a
most active Instagram page in the world.
Yeah, the last post was from 8 months ago. Literally, like one of the most recent posts was literally from about 9 months ago or so. And but the funny thing is that video was taken 9 months before it was posted. So it was an old video and an old post. So the actual footage of it's a roll between me and Adam, and the actual footage is about a year and a half old, we'll say, roughly 18 months ago. And I was watching, it was a very short clip, and I was just cringing the entire time watching how bad my jiu-jitsu was. And it wasn't even a full roll. It's literally like a little snippet from a little roll that we did. And it was crazy how bad I was.
Yeah. So I just want to, I haven't looked at this prior to our conversation. So, oh yes, I know what footage this is. So I'm also just trying to remember how hard I was trying in this.
Probably like 20%.
Okay, we are going to talk about some cringe stuff, but I also think you're talking about the no-gi roll, right?
Yes,
of course. So we will talk about some cringeness, but I also think you were being a little bit hard on yourself. Like, I don't know. I'm interested to hear. So obviously anyone listening can go look at this. Yeah, it's a little 30-second snippet of Kieran and I rolling.
Yep.
But I'm interested to hear why you think it's so bad, because, you know, obviously looking back on any activity you do,
yeah,
it's always going to be, you know, should be worse looking back, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Which, if I looked better, we'd have a problem.
Yeah. Which reminds me of I'll just segue this into a joke from a comedian who's not around anymore, but his name's Mitch Hedberg. Mm. And he had this joke that was something along the lines of when he was like, said something, you know, how people would be like, hey man, here's a photo of me when I was younger. And he was like, every photo of you is when you're younger. If it's not, I'd be like, where the fuck did you get that camera? Or something like that. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, my sport activity of choosing was skateboarding. And I was never good. I could do a kickflip and shit, but like I was never good. You know, it wasn't like I was doing handrails and stuff or anything like that. I could do a kickflip down a small set of stairs but that was it. I was just a teenager who liked to skateboard. Yeah, nice.
Razor scooter, bro. Sick.
And me and my friends used to film it, and we were like, yeah, let's make like little video parts, not in an effort to get sponsored or anything, just for ourselves, for fun. Mm. And at the time, like, you know, my friend that I did it with, which if he listens to this episode, because he now trains jiu-jitsu, is still a white belt, but it's quite funny that now he trains jiu-jitsu. Shout out to Byron, if you're listening, bro. At the time, he had a sick camera and he had, you know, one of the new, like, Apple computers with Final Cut Pro and everything. And so, you know, we used to do all this shit. And then we were looking back through our video stuff. And for my particular one, I was like, fuck, man, I'm like, every trick in this video is shit. I'm way better than this now. And I was like, delete it all. We're re-recording everything. And we deleted it all. And then like not long after that, like I broke my arm skateboarding, and then like I never started skating again. And then now as an adult, I'm like, God damn it. Like, you know, it would have been cool to look back to have that memory of being a teenager skateboarding, but alas, it's gone.
That is cringe. So yeah, this episode is just going to turn into a fucking cringe fest now.
Well, I want to know why you think
I will break it down.
That role is so cringe.
I will definitely break it down. I just wanted to quick tangent. you reminded me of something. I was actually a YouTuber 13 years ago was when I posted my first YouTube video.
Yeah, right.
It was a quick scope montage of Modern Warfare 2 gameplay.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to tell you what it's called or like what the gamer tag was. The gamer tag is actually more embarrassing than anything. It's a horrible gamer tag. And I cannot. It's so embarrassing. And it's a 2 minute 54 seconds. And it is the worst fucking... Like, they're not even quick scopes. But anyway, it was so fucking cringe. And I go back to it every now and then just to, like, cringe at myself. And I put... anyway, I won't go into too much detail, but Modern Warfare 2 was peak gaming for me.
That's funny.
So bad. But let's just go back to some more fucking cringe.
Yeah, so, why do you think this role is... Particularly bad for you?
Well, I don't want to take any... Obviously, I don't want to take anything away from, you know, you. You're clearly better than me and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But let's just look... First and foremost, the stand-up. My stand-up has gotten so much better. Like, I did not... This is when I'd recognized that my stand-up was a problem. A real problem. But I hadn't really made any progress in this area. Stand-up is a very common weak point for many jiu-jitsu guys because we spend most of our time on the floor, right? We don't do a lot of stand-up. A lot of jiu-jitsu guys don't like stand-up. That's what wrestling is for. And I'm not saying that I've been wrestling lately, but I've just, I don't know. And I haven't really even been focusing on stand-up. It's just gotten so much fucking better. So the first thing is the stand-up. My entire stand-up game at the time of this recording was to grab a collar tie and just fucking hope for the best. And if I got up the courage, shoot a double leg, but I knew you would absolutely like crush me if I did that. So that is the first thing is my stand up. And you can see, I mean, it's hard to follow along with the audio if you're not watching the video, but there was a point where Adam has a collar tie and I'm not even addressing it. I'm just like
hanging your head.
Like, what the fuck am I doing? And then when I try to address it, like, I turn away from you. I completely turn my head away from you and give you, like, my side. And I've got all of my weight on my left leg. My right side is facing you. And I'm, like, running away. And I just get, like, you easily get an underhook and then go to my head and blah, blah, blah. And then we end up on the ground. So that's the first thing. It's just so fucking cringe. I look like I've just run a marathon or something. I'm clearly gassed. But you know, I'm so heavy on my feet. I'm not doing anything. Like, I've no idea what the fuck's going on. I'm just stalling essentially. And then when we get to the ground, this is the second thing that really made me cringe. And some of the comments are like, oh, good defense. It's not good defense. It's just stubborn. You know, I was just being stubborn and not tapping like, you know, at a reasonable time. But if you look at the point where we actually get on the floor, I'm using both of my hands to fight the wrong hand. I'm not even addressing the choking arm. That's first, like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm not, like, you have...
Probably just having heaps of faith in your ability to tuck your chin, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That is so bad. Like, I know that, okay, yes, you're trapping one of my arms. So the underhook goes around and holds on to the hand. If you don't know that type of back attack or grip fight from the back, it is incredibly effective. I understand that. But I can't commit both of my hands to try and address that. I have to protect my neck. Like, that's the first thing you have to do is protect your neck. And I'm not protecting my neck at all. Yes, I'm, you know, putting a lot of faith in my chin tuck ability, but it's just silly. It's just very, very silly. And then I let you belly me out as well. So, yeah, there was a few things. You got the body triangle. And I'm not taking away from your jiu-jitsu. You force a lot of these situations. But just looking back on it, it's just really cringe.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree too much with your assessment, to be honest. Like, I think that's pretty accurate because at first when you, and I'm just, sorry, I'm not looking at the camera. I'm just kind of watching it as we go through it.
Yeah.
You know, when you first said that it was cringe, I kind of just watched it haphazardly and thought, oh man, it's not that bad. It's just like a black belt rolling with a blue belt. And, you know, I decided to, you know, put a bit more more effort in or whatever. But yeah, I think that assessment is pretty accurate because it's not like the whole thing is cringe, but yeah, there are those couple of points. The point of, you know, whether you argue you didn't address the collar tie or not could be debatable because maybe you were, you know, it is just a snippet. I can't recall if that was towards the end of a 10-minute round and maybe you had previously tried to address it and fatigue, you know, I was hanging from your head, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But the turning and kind of giving your back thing was terrible. Was bad.
Yeah.
And then I don't think me then getting to the front headlock snap down was necessarily like a big mistake from you or anything. Like that's a position I quite like from stand up. I like getting a front headlock position and then getting around to the back if I can from there. Because I tried to connect it, the front headlock into a cradle single leg and you reached up and then I just like ducked under that round to your back.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the back take, like, you know, I was heavy on that 4-point position. You tried to roll the right way, but you know, I anticipated, jumped over, rolled through, but then as you said, yeah, I didn't quite notice it without until you said it, the two hands fighting the non-choking arm. Constantly. When you rewatch that was a bit
terrible.
Perhaps not the right decision. No. But I do remember this. You had a bit of a sore rib at the time.
Yeah, I did.
And I don't know if it picks up in the audio, but I remember like because I got you belly down,
yeah,
you know, butterfly chicken position, and got the rear naked choke, which is pretty much what you have to do to get a rear naked choke against you. It's either like that or across the face.
Yeah.
and you like turned to me and you said, thanks for not hipping in.
Yeah, because you hipped in earlier. Like, or you didn't hip in earlier, but like we spoke about it or whatever. I did have a sore rib at the time, but it's kind of irrelevant. I think the one thing that I find super cringe is the stand up was really, really bad, and which is good because I've come a long way, but it was the constantly fighting the wrong arm on the back. That is such a, you know, I don't want to offend anyone, but it's kind of like a wipe out level thing. You got to fight the choking arm. Like, I don't know what I was doing. And it was so bad that you were actually able to do I don't know where I got this. I don't know if it's even called this, but like the swimming arms, where you, like, you don't even have a seatbelt. Like, you don't even have an underhook. You're just going over the top with both and just like drilling in one over the other. I do that all the time to people. But in theory, if you're against someone that has really good back defense, you shouldn't be able to do that, because if you give up an underhook, then they should be able to escape. In theory, in this sort of position, I was so bad at defending my neck. I was literally, to me, this clip looks like I was just stalling and waiting for the tap. And I don't like that. Yeah, you're all over me, obviously. And obviously your jiu-jitsu is better. But all I'm saying is I watch this clip and think, fuck, I've come a long way, which got me to thinking. This is a little while ago now.
Well, let's also remind people that you, prior to hurting your knee, you were on a mission of coming back from Sweden and smashing me.
So, that was the goal, whether or not it's achieved.
Yeah, and we were talking about it. We were saying, well, all you've really got to do is, you know, have better cardio than me, which you already cardio, do.
Yeah.
But then actually you said something last week that I kind of just didn't register when you said it. So this wasn't during our recording, but Kieran and I were talking and I was saying, like, you know, how like I had lost 1 or 2 kilos or something like that. And like not a significant amount of weight. But anyway, Kieran goes, I want you to get down to, like, I used to fight 88 when I was like competing through colored belts. So 88 in the gi, meaning I would usually walk around at about 88, 90 kilos, somewhere around there. And depending on where I was in the competition season, I would sometimes not need to cut at all or sometimes need to cut a couple of kilos. And I never not made weight. So I always weighed in at like 87, 88. And whereas now, you know, I walk around over 100 and have for ages. The last time I competed was at 94 kilos at heavyweight. And that was years ago. And yeah, Kieran goes, I want you to get down to 88 so I can smash you, is what he said last week. And the conversation just continued. And then afterwards I was like, wait, Does Kenny think the only reason he's not smashing me because I'm like 10, 15 kilos heavier than him? Don't get me wrong. 10, 15 kilos is a lot of weight. But I mean, you know, I was like, is that what he thinks?
I
was
like, but I just think, that is funny. That is funny. Is that a Freudian slip or what?
I'll be like, I want you to get up to 100 kilos so then you can find another excuse.
No, just be fat and slow.
Yeah.
And then I think it's funny because then I have a video on my YouTube channel called BJJ Black Belt Coach Commentary on White Belt Rolling and Getting Dominated by Brown Belt. What a fucking terrible title. But anyway, that video is you and me.
It was you rolling with Andres, right?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah, and yes. We recorded this after one of our episodes. And you broke down the footage and the actual role with Andre. Yes, he's a brown belt and I'm a white belt. I should lose. And I did lose. I got smashed. But watching that as well is, again, like not cringe because I'm a white belt here. So I don't really expect much of myself. But it is so crazy to see the type of shit that I was doing. You know what I mean? So I just think it's really interesting to look back on old footage. And I was doing some weird shit.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I didn't, nor do I even now currently document my jiu-jitsu to the extent that you did, or even anyone who trains jiu-jitsu nowadays.
Yeah.
Whether you want to say it's not necessarily a generational thing because there's people who are older than me who their whole life is online and YouTube and whatever. Yeah, but I've never been someone who documents a lot of my life as I go along. So I have next to no footage of my whole jiu-jitsu journey. I don't know why, but I went to... I've never had an official Reddit account. And I was like, fuck, mate, you know, I use Reddit enough. I'll check out the BJJ subreddit. And then I was like, oh yeah, you can put your belt, whatever. And then I saw for black belts, you have to provide proof that you're a black belt, which is fair enough. But one of the bits of proof, which would be very easy for me to obtain, would be like my IBJJF black belt certificate and recognition from them. But that's not what they ask for. They ask for a photo of you in your black belt with your coach who gave you your black belt, and where it's very clear to see your faces and everything. And I kind of like gave up there. I was like, oh, fuck, it's like too, like, I don't even know where I'll find one of those photos. It's like, I don't have shit documented. Like any old photos is probably on Facebook, which I can't remember my login because I haven't used it for a decade or whatever. And I kind of like gave up there because I was like, oh man, I don't know where to find that photo. So I moved on.
I don't know. I think you could easily get one because ironically, you've awarded a black belt, right? To Joey. If Joey uploaded a photo with him and you, he would get approved.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, I do have one. I only have one bit of old jiu-jitsu footage. Like I have no colored belt footage of me rolling. I had colored belt footage captured, but I don't know, they were probably on old iPhones that then when that iPhone died or you upgraded, the footage died with it or whatever. And it's from when I did a bunch of competitions as a white belt. And it's funny, I actually don't find the jiu-jitsu that cringe because it's just white belt jiu-jitsu. What I more find cringe is the fact that I like edited the video together, and the music is like great, but it's not necessarily like the music.
What song was it again? Was it from System of a Down or something? Or
Temper Trap.
Right.
An Australian band. You know, and what's more cringe is that it's got this bit at the start where text comes up and it's like a year of competitions, all in the pursuit of knowledge, journey to blue belt.
Video is actually titled something like Road to Blue Belt.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I find cringe about it. But actually watching the footage, I don't find it particularly cringe. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, some of it's shit, but I remember one of it, it's like my first ever competition ever. And what do you expect?
Yeah.
But you've got a whole, well, not all the time, you know.
No.
Done episodes on.
Yeah. That's not what I meant. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But okay. So, but ignore, you know, you've mentioned two videos. You have a whole stack of content you can look back on. So
yeah,
I don't know. You're pretty good with videos. You're pretty good with your calendars. I'm going to give you a mini task.
Yep.
Which is, I want you to put in your calendar from, let's just say, a year from today or whatever.
Okay.
Essentially a year from that last comp you did. Not the last one where you were super unhappy and you lost, but you know the comp before that where you got the super quick foot locks and stuff?
Yeah.
So a year from that comp. So you can look back on that footage in a year's time, which is footage that's good, right? It's a comp where you got some, you know, 20-second submissions or whatever.
Yeah.
And I wonder if in a year's time you'll look back on that and think it's cringe, or you'll go, you know, oh, I'm better than that now. But hey, like, fuck, that was pretty sick blue belt jiu-jitsu matches. Set yourself a reminder, Kieran.
All right, I will. I'll just go from when the video was uploaded. It was pretty close to the thing. So review comp footage from episode, this is the most entertaining podcasting ever, 159.
Kieran putting Google Notes in.
Yeah, I live off my calendar. You can ask me what I did on any day within the last like 5 years or so, and I'll tell you exactly where I was, what I did, what work I did, blah, blah, blah.
And see if in a year's time you think that's cringe. So in a year's time, we already know what podcast episode we're recording. Kieran reviews year-old footage. Is it cringe?
You know what? We probably will do an episode on that. I will come up on my calendar. Yeah. I'll call it like a surprise episode or some shit. if we're still going, mate, if we make it. But speaking of like cringe things from the past, right? Many years ago, I was bored when I was like a teenager, right? I was like 17 or something. I was bored on the internet and I came across a video that was something along the lines of like, oh, fun things to do on the internet or some shit like that, right? And one of the things was there was this website that allowed you to send an email to your future self. So you would type in your email address, type out like an email and schedule it for years in advance, right? You could do like 10 years, 5 years or whatever, like a time capsule. And, you know, gave you some prompts, things to write, like, you know, where you expect to be in life and all this, like, you know, a little bit cringe shit, right? So I did it and totally forgot about it. And I think I set it to the future of like 5 years or something. Now they actually charge money for the service, but at the time it was free. And I remember like going through and reading it and being like, oh, I expect you to be at this stage and I expect you to be doing this. And this is what's happening right now. This is what I expect. And yeah, it was pretty cringe, but it was also pretty fucking hilarious. Because I met some of the goals, like some of it was super accurate. You know what I mean? Some of it, like I achieved what I set out to achieve and some of it was just fucking like super awkward.
How long ago did you receive the email? How far back are we going?
Okay. So I think I wrote it when I was 17 and put a 5 year in the future, like time on it. So I got it when I was about 22. And now I'm 28. So this is a long time ago. Right. The only thing I regret is not writing one for like 10 years in the future. You know what I mean? Or not writing one, you know, fucking even further in the future. But I remember when I received the email in my inbox, I had like that heart sink moment. Like, holy shit, I totally forgot about this. But I tried to do it again when I received the email to do another one for another 5 years, but they charge money for it now. I was like, nah, you can get fucked.
Surely there's a free service. Couldn't you technically do what Mr. Beast does with like how he's pre-recorded Hello Me in 5 years? Couldn't you just schedule a YouTube upload, you know, for,
I could, but you know, I mean, 10 years. That is pretty cringe. I don't know.
But you don't. You can schedule the upload and it not be public, right? You could schedule a private upload.
Yeah. But then that's like a video diary, and that's kind of gay, bro. diary.
What's wrong with staying on brand? I don't get it. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I just Yeah, and I suppose that is the unique benefit from someone in my position. Not many people have as much footage of my rolling as I do. Some people have way more, and you know, not even creators. Some people religiously, you know, film everything. I certainly don't, but I film more than the average person. Particularly when I was a white belt, I did a lot more filming of my actual rolling.
Do you have any particular jiu-jitsu related cringe moment that comes to mind?
I have many. I have some like cringes in I did something wrong or whatever. Yeah, there's a lot of those. I have a lot of, this is weird. This is like, what are your jiu-jitsu regrets? I have a lot of jiu-jitsu related regrets. But they're more related, one in particular around like, you know, injuring people really badly, or, you know, injuring myself, or I don't know, offending like a training partner by doing something. Like there's a couple times that I've looking back on it, I acted like a dick to a less skilled, you know, lower belt or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Like, did I really need to do a knee on belly ride for 3 minutes on a beginner white belt? Probably not. Yeah. You know, shit like that. That's pretty cringe and, you know, pretty bad or whatever. I also have moments where I've been beaten up by people for certain reasons or whatever that I'm like, no, I still hold that against you sort of thing. I'm like, I'm still coming for you one day. So I still have, you know, had those as well. I have fuckloads, man. There's heaps of moments, so many.
You know, I can't really recall any particular cringe moment of mine related to jiu-jitsu. I mean, there of course would have
bro, been. I can think of 59 of them.
I can think of 159 of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
159 hours worth of cringe.
Yeah, yeah.
It's this podcast, bro.
But something happened tonight that is a bit off topic what we're talking about in terms of cringe, but I mean, maybe relates to cringe jiu-jitsu gyms and instructors. There's a gym in our area. I mean, our area that I know a lot of people from, like students who have left the gym, and I know the owner of the gym, and he's just your typical instructor who teaches and controls his students and keeps his students through fear and through you know, not allowing them to train at other gyms, because he's, you know, I could go on about the character of him as a person, but even that aside, if we just look at his jiu-jitsu, it's not very good. He's not super qualified for it, you know, maybe be someone who can cook a decent meal, but now they're trying to fly a flag next to like fully established restaurants and be a chef competing against these fully fledged restaurants with classically trained chefs. And it's like, no, bro, like, yeah, you can cook a decent meal here and there, but like, fuck, you're not a chef and you're not. Anyway, he's the sort of guy that if you like would beat up lower belts intentionally, even white belts, like to show that that's how he would show he's better than them. And if you ever got something on him in training, like let's say you were a lower belt, like let's say you were, doesn't matter what belt you were, but let's say you were someone that as a whole, he could beat the crap out of you, which typically meant you would have to be a pretty low belt because it's not particularly good. If you got anything against him, depends on his mood. Maybe it was just an advantage that would then result in him trying to physically hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was rolling with a guy who had come over from that gym, and yeah, he's a almost blue belt, and I'm rolling with him and he's way smaller than me. And I'm just kind of, but he still moves really well, even though he's come from a whole bunch of time off, still moves really well. And I'm kind of just moving with him. I'm side control top and I'm kind of letting him shove my arm and head down between his legs for that sort of reverse triangle thing, whatever. And he closes it, squeezes, and I tap and whatever. And then he kind of looks at me with this like he was scared that then I was going to come and try to just like rip his head off. I was like, bro, like we're just fucking training, man. Like, and also I was like, do you think, not that it matters. I was like, do you think you legitimately caught me in that? Like, I'm not saying I'm above getting caught in submissions, but you know, I'm just like playing around. It's my first ever role with this dude in the gym and he's essentially a white belt. And I'm just, but just that kind of, well, I guess the cringe that gyms like that exist and that this person was literally thinking that I was going to come and try to physically harm them. Like, oh, I'm going to break you now that you caught me in a submission, whether I let you do it or not. But now it's like, now you're going to pay, white belt. It's fucking so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that to you, but we have a different relationship, right?
There's this guy on socials that a black belt that makes like lots of vertical content, lots of vertical videos on YouTube, on Instagram. I see him pop him up all the time. I'm pretty sure I follow him. I don't have his name off the top of my head and I don't really want to like add him or whatever, but chances are you've seen him. I think I've sent a few of the videos to you. And he has a lot of controversial opinions on things, and that's why his videos, or part of the reason why his videos like do so well. A lot of the information is really good. I find it very entertaining. I love the videos. So if you know who I'm talking about, don't take this as like me, you know, talking shit, because I really love his video style. I love his content. To the point, right? He says a lot of controversial things, and one of them was along the lines of like, don't be that guy in jiu-jitsu, part fucking whatever. And he goes, if you're a white belt, a senior white belt, or maybe you're even an upper blue belt, are really guilty of this or whatever. And it's when if you're rolling with a higher belt, be it a, you know, experienced purple belt, brown belt, or a black belt, and you get a tap on them, don't think you actually got it. They're letting you work and all. And then he went on this like, you know, rant about, you know, the upper belts are letting you work. Don't tap and tell. Like you didn't legitimately get it. They're letting you work, bro. And I know that it's, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, like you just said. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I mean, if I'm an upper blue belt and I submit a fucking purple belt, they're not letting me work, bro. What are you talking about? I found it super fucking cringe.
I mean, I wonder if that content is made intentionally to rustle some feathers, because yeah,
100%.
Like
yeah, it, I mean, generates, like you said, huge. I commented on it, so it generates huge engagement.
It's hard though, because there's only so much you can get across in 30 seconds. Because yeah, there's some truth to that.
But, there is,
but there's also like not. You know, like I mean, at the end of the day, it's you're training, man. It's training, unless you're someone who only ever trains with competition intensity, or your coach says it's comp rounds or whatever, you know, like it's fucking training, man. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it would kind of just like, imagine if I don't know what their name is, but the Miami football team, they're at training, so they're doing like, you know, whatever, five-a-side game of football, and someone's like, you know, I fucking scored on Messi. Like, oh man, no, you're fucking training, bro. Like, this is not a real game. You are not actually playing another team. Like, you guys are all teammates training together. Like, you think that means like you actually scored on Messi? Like, you know, like you guys are fucking training. It's not real, you know?
I get that.
And
look, yeah, so I didn't have a problem with the whole coach thing. Like, yeah, I get that. And I've rolled with plenty of black belts that I can tell letting me work. I think I had a problem. My ego, I should say, my massive fuck off ego had a problem with the fact that he was telling me that all the submissions I've got on a higher belt don't count or whatever. And I think that's my interpretation of it. And I think that is what rubbed me the wrong way. Because, like, no offense, but if you're a purple belt and I'm a, you know, upper, you know, upper judging by arbitrary stripes, if I'm a four stripe blue belt and you're a purple belt, you're not letting me work, dude. I'm just saying that. Like, you know, I don't see a world where I would be offended. I'd be insulted if I roll with a purple belt and they're like letting me work. You know what I mean? I just, yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's the interpretation.
You know, but it's also, even if they're letting you work, it depends to what degree. Like, so for example, the white belt who I was training with today, who had me in the reverse triangle thing, it was like 100% letting him work and do whatever. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also, you know, let's imagine I'm rolling with you or Ollie, like a brown belt of mine or whoever. Mm. And let's say, just to put it simply, I let them work in the sense that I give myself a handicap to put it in super simple terms. Let's say I let it go for a period of time where then I go, okay, now I'll start trying. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do that and then I've left it too late and then I don't recover. Right. And then they get the better of me. So it'd be kind of be like, if you're having a race with Usain Bolt and Usain Bolt goes, okay, well, to make things fair, I'm going to give you a 20-meter head start, and then you beat him in the race. Like, it doesn't mean you're faster than Usain Bolt and you beat him, but like, you beat him in the handicap that was given. You know, I could, that's why in certain sports they have handicaps. Like, let's say golf, for example, not professional golf, because the PGA Tour professional golf, there are no handicaps, but your local club golf course, you have handicaps to intentionally level the playing field, you know? So like, you could beat someone who is better than you. Like, you could have I won't go into detail for people who don't understand golf, but like, the higher your handicap, the higher the number, the worse you are at golf. So you could have a handicap of 20 and then someone else in the tournament has a handicap of 10 and you could beat them and take home the prize money, right? Mm. But yet, if there were no handicaps, the person with 10 actually played that round of golf better than you. But, you know, so it's like, oh, no, but that dude with 10 was letting me work. No, well, I mean, like, obviously that's not a self-imposed handicap, but you know what I mean? So
yeah, I understand.
The fact that we've been talking about this for so long clearly shows that you can't get all that information across in a 30-second vertical.
No, I get what he's saying. But I agree with him.
And I think I don't know if it's the same person, but it might be. Like, I saw this one that, again, I wasn't like it was necessarily shit advice, but for me and my personality and who I am as a person, I was like, this is fucking terrible advice. Mm. That was a very similar thing. It was like, don't be this guy. And it was like, if you're at a competition, walking up to the opponent, hey man, how you going? My name's Adam, blah, 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 blah. He's like, no, you're here to fight. It's to go to war, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, sure. Some people need that. And to be honest, like, I need that sort of air quote war mentality when I'm stepping on the mat, but I actually quite like being friendly with the person who I'm about to fight with. You know, two of the nicest people in the history of jiu-jitsu, Marcelo Garcia, Bernardo Faria, right? Absolute warriors. You see Bernardo's psych up when he's getting on the mat, when he's on the mat. Mm. He's like the nicest dude, man. Like the nicest dude. So it's also, yeah, okay, cool, man. Your YouTube reel, great. Don't be that dude. But there's also like multiple world champions who are lovely as fuck. Like Mikey Musumeci. Like, dude. The nicest dude as well. Mm. Can't take a smile off his face. So, okay, man, you can fly that flag, but clearly that is not, this is why you're not winning jiu-jitsu competitions. You're saying hello to your competitor.
Yeah. I've literally seen them compete or whatever and like learnt their name and been like, oh, hey, bozo or whatever. I'm Kieran. I think we're up next. Good luck and all that. And, you know, nice job on the previous match or whatever, and just like shook the hand or whatever. I've done that so many times to heaps of competitors and talk to them afterwards. I don't think like it's seriously, it doesn't detract from your jiu-jitsu unless, you know, you need to be angry or whatever to compete. And I'm like you, man. I'm not like that at all. I perform worse when I'm angry. I perform way worse when I'm like angry at the person because I make mistakes. That's just me though.
Yeah. I don't often get angry, but I mean, I think when I was younger, I had the ability to turn on, you know, the beast mode switch a bit easier. And I definitely perform better when that switch is activated. But
yeah,
but along those same lines, I'll tell you one thing that happened to me that I was like, no, no, that's not cool. I was like about to fight this dude. And yeah, so I'm chatting to him. I have no, we'd never met, but we knew who each other were. So we're like, man, hey man, how you going? Blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, we're about to fight. And he's like, it's like, yeah, I got my wife and my kids over there came to watch. And I was like, bro, I was like, I'm about to beat the shit out of you in front of your wife and kids. Oh man. I was like, fuck. You know. And then he actually got injured like right at the start of the match. Like a self-imposed injury. So well, not self-imposed, but like movement happened and he reacted incorrectly and hurt himself. But so it ended quite quickly, which didn't result in his kids, his young kids having to watch me beat the crap out of him. But yeah, anyway, I'm always friendly. I try to be friendly to the people I'm competing with. I try to get psyched up when I'm walking on the mats. Like I try to get in that mentality of like, I'm going to fucking break you.
Yeah. 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 100%.
And until that moment, I have no issue saying hello to them and shaking their hand. And
definitely. Yeah, I didn't agree with the guy. I think that, you know, maybe it works for him and his students, but I don't think, like, his general advice to everyone, like, oh, you got to see them as the enemy. I think that, I don't know. I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's who, you know, whatever works for the individual, I guess.
Yeah.
Pretty
cringe.
Yeah. So I already want to go on to my something interesting, which I'm going to combine sort of two things, right? So first, I'm going to steal something you sent me. So Kieran was going back through. Kieran was going back through the footage, and, you know, he said 8-9 months ago. So there was a Reddit post from 8-9 months ago of asking like best jiu-jitsu podcasts. And, you know, ours came up. Yeah, from 9 months ago. And someone said, like, upvote for sick analogies. Adam's analogies are goated. But I've recently had no analogies, really. Recently, the analogies have fallen by the wayside. Maybe it's because now we record late at night for me. I'm not as caffeinated. The analogies aren't popping, you know. Not all things are firing. I don't know. So my analogies have not been great. But I have a new analogy that I did not come up with. I saw on a reel or a short or something, but I thought I would give this analogy to you, Kieran, because it's probably more applicable for potential clients that you might deal with. And I thought this was hilarious. It was a guy talking about, you know, the classic, anyone who's trying to maybe not, let's not say cut weight, because cut weight's a very short period of time thing, and if you fuck up and have a air quote cheat day when you're cutting weight, you're probably not going to make weight, you know. If you have a cheat day in a 5-day cut or something like that, chances are so let's call it weight loss or trying to drop some weight or whatever. And you know how people will have a cheat day or a cheat meal, or and they blow out, and then they go, well, fuck it, this weekend's like now a blowout, right? And then they just binge all weekend, or they go, fuck it, this week's a blowout. And this guy goes, and I thought this was perfect. He goes, to me, that doesn't make any fucking sense. He goes, like, if you eat some pizza and then you like go, this day's a blowout, this weekend's a blowout, I'm just going to eat shit the whole weekend. He goes, that's like accidentally pissing on the toilet seat and then going, fuck it, and pissing all over the bathroom. and I was like, that's exactly what it's like. I was like, that is the perfect analogy. You know, just go, oh, I accidentally pissed on the toilet seat. Well, fuck it, I may as well piss everywhere now. Yeah. And it's like, no, bro, don't piss everywhere. You know, like, and I thought that's a perfect analogy to describe that scenario that many people go through, right? But I thought,
I agree. But
I'll give that one to you if you ever have the appropriate client to use pissing on the toilet seat with.
Analogy Adam is back.
I'm back to stealing other people's analogies. All right.
Okay, speaking of stealing, you kind of did steal my thunder, but my something interesting was about the whole Reddit thing I found. So I was looking, I was Googling something or whatever, and, you know, found podcast, the prompt podcast on Reddit. And of course, I had a sneaky little look. And yeah, I found a bunch of threads talking about, like, you know, best podcast for BJJ. The one Adam was talking about, the comment I'm going to discuss isn't in that thread. It was on an even older one that was nearly 2 years old. And it was basically like people recommending our show on Reddit. So shout out to all the Redditors out there, and which is awesome. But then the replies were like, oh yeah, I love Adam and Kieran's show. It's, you know, this and that. They get off track, but it's funny and all this sort of stuff. And talking about the show for give people context that didn't know about it. And then someone goes, yeah, I really love the show too, but they haven't uploaded in over a year. And I'm like, what? And this was like 2 years ago. You know, so I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So then
the biggest break we ever took was
recently.
Recently during yeah. your move, where move and wedding and honeymoon, we took exactly. 6 weeks or something off.
Something like that. And at the time we were uploading 2 episodes a week. And someone commented that they love how regular we upload. And then the next comment is, yeah, but they haven't uploaded in over a year. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. So I did some little investigating, and apparently we stole the name Beyond Jiu-Jitsu. We did not come up with Beyond Jiu-Jitsu. I had no idea. So if you listen to our very first episodes of this podcast that's still freely available, like the first 7 episodes or so, we actually didn't have a name. We recorded the podcast like 7 episodes in advance before we started releasing them, because we wanted some in the bank, because we, you know, wanted, that was our show of commitment to the project, to the podcast. And in that time we were brainstorming a million names, and every time we'd come up with a name, of course we would check to make sure that we weren't copying someone else's name, right? And I was doing a lot of this checking obviously on Google search, but also on Spotify. Now, if you try and find another show called Beyond Jiu-Jitsu, you won't be able to find them on Spotify. But I did find them, and I don't think they are on Spotify, which maybe is the reason we didn't see it. But all I want to say is that we have been plagiarizing 159 plagiarizing copies of the show. And we are now officially changing our name to Go Beyond Jiu-Jitsu. Different. The names are completely separate.
Will remain the same, though. There's no room to put a go on there. If we haven't changed Kieran's belt, we're not changing the logo.
Yeah, exactly. But this podcast hasn't uploaded since like 2018. So they predated us by over a year. At least, well, more than that, really. If they started 2018, we started 2020. So 2 years before us. But obviously, we didn't find them. We didn't know about them. And they don't upload anymore. So fuck it. We got the name.
Yeah, because it's not like we found it and went, oh, they haven't uploaded. We can use the name. Because when we were trying to think of a name, there were plenty of names we thought of that then we looked, and they already existed as podcast episodes, but they hadn't uploaded in a year or 2 years or something. And we still, didn't take the name, because we're like, oh man, they've already, you know, yeah, they haven't uploaded in 2 years, but that podcast exists. But yeah, exactly. We never saw this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I never saw him. Can't even remember who owns the podcast. I think it's like a well-known black belt of some description, but they did a few episodes. I think from memory, they did like 20 episodes or something like that over like a year period. And then they just sort of quit because, you know, they realized, oh, hang on a minute. There's no fucking money in podcasts. What am I doing? And, you know, classic. And, you know, we have more uploads than them. We're better than them. But I don't know. It's what it is, bro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully they won't come after us. Yeah, yeah, well,
it's a bit late now.
It's interesting as well. I just want to, before we move on, go back to the Reddit post you sent me, and someone wrote, you know, I love the energy between the hosts, you know, blah blah blah. It seems well organized. And this guy commented, the only thing I disagree with is the organization. Most of the time, their podcasts are pretty organized. However, they go off the rails a lot, which is probably my favorite aspect of their podcast. And I was like, yeah, like that's kind of our thing. Like we, you know, We don't often stay super on topic all the time, but
this episode, Exhibit A.
Yeah, that's right. Which reminds me, I was going to mention this.
Oh my God, you're literally going off topic. No, talking about going off topic.
Yeah, I mean, we're just talking about like YouTube and people commenting and Reddit and stuff. So like I had someone comment on one of my videos recently with a generic useless comment where like I posted a technique video and they commented like, yeah, but they'll just do this or something. And I was kind of like, what did I write? I was like, yeah, no, that's not happening. It was like, yeah, they're just going to do this and then blah, blah, blah. And obviously it's easier just not to engage, but it's not like I get like 200 comments, you know? And I wrote back, I was like, bro, your argument, like in jiu-jitsu, again, when you're just trying to do a 30-second video, there's only so much information you can get across. I think I said something along the lines of, your argument is no different to commenting on someone's video of a double leg and you commenting, yeah, but that would just guillotine you. It's like, yeah, like, it's stupid. Like, does a guillotine counter a double leg? Yes. Do double legs work? Yes. Like, I mean, like what do you want, bro? You know, like, yeah. It's like, yeah. Anyway, I just re-popped into my head. I do want to quickly check. I have one other thing that popped into my head, and so I wasn't organized for this, so please bear with me. But last week's episode, we were talking about the importance of asking why, and we asked people to send in, why did you start jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah.
And let me bring it up here. So I just had, just remembered now that I came across one that had been sent in. So I got a message. I'm just going to read it now. Hey, Adam and Kieran, wanted to share. This is from Temp Burner. So no idea what the actual name is, but just wanted to share my why. I grew up in a city in the US, so I'd never considered jiu-jitsu for an altercation. The type of person who got into fights were also the type with guns. That's very American.
Fair enough. Very fair
enough. Growing up in a big city, I never got to exercise, move as much as a kid. I did some boxing, blah, blah, blah. Have ADHD, so anything repetitive like punching bags or lifting got boring quick. A few years ago, I interned for a hedge fund and lived in New York City, Manhattan. I was between CrossFit, dance classes, or jiu-jitsu to exercise a bit, meet new people, and learn something new each week. I Googled best BJJ near me and was in spitting distance of both Henzo Gracie's gym and Marcelo Garcia's gym.
Wow.
So not a bad choice, although his first ever trial class was at Unity, where he actually got to roll and he was hooked.
Rolling is important.
Yeah, and then learning that, you know, he was located with some of the best gyms at spitting distance was, a no-brainer, right? So
yeah, man, that's incredible.
So yeah, thank you for sending that in.
I am a little bit shocked that they didn't go with dance lessons over jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, well,
I would have chose, but man. Anyway.
I've seen you move.
Yes.
Have you ever taken a dance lesson?
Yes.
Have you?
Many. Yeah.
Have you actually?
Yes, I actually have.
There's nothing wrong with that. I've
nothing gay about that. What are you talking about? Yeah, when I was younger, I was very into drama. I was very.
Were you really?
Very much so. Yes.
So why didn't you start with this when we're talking cringe? We're talking cringe.
It's pretty cringe. My brother could tell you many, many cringe things. Like, there's nothing wrong with being gay at all. But my whole family thought I was for a very long time. Just because they're homophobes and stereotypes. But when I was younger, I was very much into drama and shit and dancing and fucking.
Yeah, no, right.
I'm kidding.
What sort of dance?
It was pop.
Yeah, right. It's funny because like there's certain activities that I don't know if this is just me, but I feel like vomit inducingly cringe if you're bad / new at them. Yep. But amazing if you're good. So for example, I've never once looked at someone who's in their first week, month or whatever of jiu-jitsu, surfing, skateboarding, learning to play the guitar, rock climbing, whatever, and gone, that's cringe. But, you know, you look at someone who is learning to dance and like can't yet dance, like it's or sing, right? Like it's embarrassing, it's cringe. But then when someone can dance and someone can sing, it's amazing. And I don't know if this is just me or I don't know if most people feel that way about those activities. But definitely, you know, but I guess if you persevere, right, and you push through the cringe, then all of a sudden you're kick ass, whether it's a pop dancer or a break dancer or, you know, even a fucking tap dancer. Like, you know, you look at professional tap dancers and whether it's your jam or not is irrelevant. Like, it's pretty amazing what they can do, you know?
And I just want to clarify, I never continued long enough to be any good. I can't fucking dance now. So don't call me out for dancing. Yeah. I can't dance for shit now. But this is what I was young. All right. I was young. I wanted to be an actor and obviously never pursue it. And here I am today.
Bro, so funny.
Very cringe, bro.
That's so funny.
I'm going to edit this out anyway.
No. People are going to be searching for your dance videos and your quick scoping videos and
fuck off. If anyone finds the quick scoping video, I'll give you a prize. There's no way you can find it.
Is it titled?
There's no way you can find it. It's got no views.
Like Modern Warfare 2 best quick scope.
No. And even if you type that in, you could search through hundreds of pages on YouTube and you'd never, ever, ever find it. And so good luck finding it. It's complete and utter dog shit. The reason I made it was because I used to like game with these Australian YouTubers and they were actually really popular at the time. They had over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, these gamer types or, you know, thereabouts. And I just so happened to know two of them through another friend. And I played games and I was young and stupid. And I was like, oh, these guys are cool as shit. I can make videos too. And mine were not cool.
But I mean, nowadays you can make a lot by posting quick scoping videos of.
Can you though?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you go into the streaming side of it, these gamer streamers make heaps of fucking money.
Oh, fuck oath.
Like
fuck
heaps, oath. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But anyway, alas.
This is very off track. This is the end of this episode.
Episode's over. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much for listening. As we said at the start, next episode is episode 160, Ask a Black Belt. So if you're still here listening, why not submit a question as well? We'll read it out. On the episode, we'll play it on the episode. It's an audio question. We'll answer it. We'll chit chat about it. So yeah, they're definitely some of my favorite episodes, the Q&As. So please send in any questions you have. But otherwise, let's keep. I'm enjoying this receiving the messages of, you know, oh, what's the heaviest person you've rolled with? People sending it in, like, why did you start training? So if anyone has a particularly cringe story they want to share,
what's the most cringe thing that's ever happened to you?
I would also like to hear that. We can remove your name. We don't have to. We don't have to say your name in it. But if anyone wants to share a particular cringe jiu-jitsu story, that would be cool as well.
Has anyone shit their pants while rolling? Is what I want to know. That's pretty cringe.
I'm working on it. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.